Free Solid State NMR. As long as you stay outside the fence, you should be okay. The reason we ask you to stay outside the fence is that this is a conducting magnet that we use as a really high magnetic field. And the way we show it, that, you know, it's not, we're not lying to you. These are Canadian quarters, right? So they're not having dust to start with. But they have magnetic impurities in them, which makes them magnetized when you put it close to the magnetic field. And now you can even see sort of field lines, right? You see the sort of movement. Right, so they become magnetized when you put them close to the magnetic field. But then by the time you get to this line, because the magnet is shielded, by the time you get to this line, it's the 5 Gauss line, so it's about 10 times the magnetic field of Earth. But outside here, there's no harm. The reason we don't want you walking, let's say, with your credit card in here is that magnetic information on the card is going to be erased. The other reason is if you have a metal thing, let's say, you know, one of these quarters that dropped it close to the magnet, and the magnet, the door is open, the quarter is going to jump inside the magnet, and there's no way to get it out of there without turning the magnet off, which basically takes, you know, a couple of weeks out of our time and $10,000 to get the guy to tell the magnet. The more important reason is that people sometimes walk around here with wrenches, which is the stupidest thing in the world. That's why we have a wrench sort of exclamation point to figure. Because the problem, what would happen if, you know, walk with a wrench here, is that, one, the magnet is going to pull the wrench with your hand holding onto it, and your hand is going to crash against the magnet, causing damage. If you're strong enough to hold the wrench, and you don't get pulled to the magnet, you're going to pull onto the magnet, right? Because every force is. So, you know, you hold on to the wrench, which means you're pulling the magnet, which means the superconducting coil that's sitting inside the magnet is going to start swishing, which means the helium that the superconducting coil is sitting in is going to start evaporating. And the helium, when it's liquid as something, when it starts evaporating, it's, you know, the volume is much, much bigger. And then once it starts evaporating, the superconductor is not going to be superconductor anymore. There's going to be a little bit of resistance, which means a little bit of heat, which means more helium evaporating, which, you know, you can imagine the cycle. Now, this bulb is here so that the helium can escape if the pressure builds in. But if the pressure builds in very, very fast, and there's no escape for the helium, the magnet is going to explode sideways. Now, this is a huge problem because the superconducting coil in the magnet is storing an energy of about an equivalent of a stick of dynamite. So, if you walk with a wrench in here, you're either going to break your hand or you're going to destroy everything. So we don't want that. That's why we built the fence. You know, because before, you know, you ride on the floor, don't walk, you know, with a wrench inside this line, but plant ops people still walk with wrenches, right? So the reason we need a huge magnetic field in here is that we're controlling the nuclei. We're controlling the magnetic moment of nuclei inside atoms. You know, nuclei and electrons, that's atoms. And each nucleus has sort of an intrinsic property. It's called a spin, right? So you probably, this is probably not new to you. And if it was maybe, you know, new to you an hour ago, now it shouldn't be, right? After the whole spiel. So you know that nuclei have this magnetic moment, this intrinsic quantity to them. And when you put this magnetic moment in a magnetic field, there are these, if it's a spin half, there are going to be these two energy levels, depending on the orientation of the magnetic moment with respect to the magnetic field, right? It's going to be parallel to the magnetic field, which you call some energy state, you know, parallel or one or, you know, spin up, or anti-parallel to the magnetic field, which is anti-parallel or zero or, you know, spin down. So you have these two energy levels, which are basically units for your 0 and 1. This is your unit, your bit of information, right? Because it's a quantum system, it's a quantum bit of information. The particular molecule that we work in this lab with is malonic acid. This is the model of the molecule, not the molecule itself. Don't believe what high school students would think of. So the black ones are carbons, right? And the blue ones are oxygens, and the little spherical ones are protons. In this particular instance for the purpose that we need these to be carbon-13s. Carbon-12 in nature is most abundant, it's 99%, and it's spinless. We need something that has spin, so we need carbon-13, which is spin up, so we build these two energy levels. So what we do is we build crystals that have some of the molecules in them have three carbon-13s, and some of the molecules just have the natural abundance levels. Okay? Let me show you one of the molecules, the actual molecules, one of the actual crystals. So this is a crystal of malonic acid. It looks like a grain of rice in there between these two pinpoints. It's a millimeter size crystal, clear crystal. Looks like sugar or salt or something.
It's a
grain of rice. You see it? So this has about, you know, 10 to the 20 of these molecules arranged in crystal structure. So you can think of it as, you know, these quantum bits in copies of the quantum bits in some sort of structure. So you're doing the same operations in each processor, but you're doing them in parallel. Right? You're doing copies of the same action. So it's not really, you know, some people think of it as parallel processing, but it's not, because you're doing the same action on all the processes. It's just on all the processors, it's just copies of the same thing. Right? So I told you, you put a magnetic moment in a magnetic field, it's, you know, it's either aligned or anti-aligned. That's, these are the energy states, the eigenstates of the energy operator. But what if it's sort of at an angle to the magnetic field? What if the magnetic moment angle to magnetic field, what would happen, you know? Sorry? It moves. How does it move? You're probably right. So if you think of a compass needle in a magnetic field, what does it do? It just aligns itself, right? If the compass needle is spinning about itself, do you know what it'll do? It's a funny thing. So you know motorcycles when you know they're racing around the track and they go in a corner, what do? They sort of lean a little bit. So the motorcycle wheel is rotating, spinning about itself. There's a gravitational field like this. So it ends up doing a cone around the gravitational field, right? It ends up spinning such that it goes around the direction. This is sort of the gyroscope action. It's the same thing for if the compass needle was spinning about itself and you put it at an angle to a magnetic field, instead of aligning, it'll start recessing about that magnetic field, start forming a cone around it, which is exactly what happens in our case. These spins have magnetic moments, you put them in a magnetic field. If they're at an angle to the magnetic field, they start recessing about that magnetic field. This precession frequency depends on the species of the nucleus, and it also depends on the chemical environment of the nucleus. Okay, so if I show you something like... Okay, so this spectrum, essentially, so the horizontal axis here is frequency. So this spectrum tells me how many spins are precessing at which frequency, right? So each peak tells me this number of spins is precessing at this particular frequency, okay? So if I look at the set of peaks on the left there, there's five of them. Forget about the one in the middle for a second, and let's concentrate on the other four. I tell you the other four are basically precession frequencies of this particular nucleus, depending on the state of the two other nuclei, okay? So, if the two other nuclei, both magnetic moments are aligned with respect to the magnetic field, then this one is precessing at a particular frequency. If one of them is aligned or anti-aligned, then it's another frequency, another frequency, another frequency. So these are the four frequencies that this carbon nucleus would precess at in the different parts of the sample, right? So different parts of the sample, because you have